we go. We're all sweet. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your presence here this morning. I thank you that you are the great I am. And I thank you that this morning's message is all about your peace. And Father God, I thank you that it is not a wishy-washy thing. I thank you that it is an all-consuming, powerful thing, the peace of God. And I just pray that everybody here, regardless of their faith level where they're at, Father God, I pray that they would walk away from this room with a new understanding of the power of God and a new understanding of the peace that surpasses understanding. Amen. Thank you, guys. Take a seat. Take a seat. Okay. Thank you, team. That was amazing. That was awesome. Okay. So, just to humor me this morning, if you wouldn't mind, I would like us to start the morning to separate all that's gone before in our day, in our week, from what is to come. I'm just going to ask you to just take a deep breath in and out a couple of times, okay? God is in our very breath, and I just think it just helps us to center ourselves back on why we're here, okay? If that's okay. Ready? 3, 2, 1. And for those of you that don't want to participate in things that you're asked to do from the front, let's do it again. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Okay. So we're talking about the peace of God, and everything that I'm talking about today is founded on the fact that when we become Christians, we enter into a relationship. It's a relationship that is a to and a fro. It is not a relationship where we're waiting for God to just do whatever he wants in our lives. It is actually about a to and a fro. It's about we are partners with Christ. We are partners with the Holy Spirit in our lives when we become a Christian. So that is the premise. That is what I want us to all remember as what I'm talking about today. Now, I was really excited in the prayer meeting. Tricia brought a prophecy, and it was that that God is wanting us to walk out of here today with liberty, with a liberation in our spirit that actually is the joy of the Lord. Okay, so I was so excited about that because I think that we have been so robbed of joy. We have been so robbed of peace, and we have been so robbed of hope in our lives. As Christians, we can be munted by things that have happened within us and in our lives and our circumstances. But God is saying, aside, push all of that aside, and I'm not belittling anybody here, so please don't misunderstand me when we're going through tough things. But what I'm saying is that the power of the peace and the power of the hope and the power of the joy is there for us. Now, I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to go all over the place with my notes. I'm going to have to ask your forgiveness if I'm a bit lost at times. But one thing that the scripture that we're really focusing on today is from John 14. Okay, and it's the scripture, this is from like 13 to 17, Jesus is instructing his disciples, kind of from on the eve of his crucifixion, okay? And so chapter 13, he's been talking to them about, there's a traitor in our midst, and I'm going to be leaving you. And so they're like reeling, they're thinking, what the heck's happening? The world's going to drop out, the bottom's going to drop out of their world. And so he says to them, he comes in at verse 1 of chapter 14, and he says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Okay, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And so, and he goes on to say, peace I leave with you and my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. And I want us to really, because I've read this all week, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. And I thought that's a really nice scripture. But I missed until this morning the peace I leave with you. We think that peace is something that comes and goes according to whatever's going on in us. But do you know what? Peace is actually a reservoir inside of us. And it is sometimes masked because of the fear in our lives, or maybe we just can't trust God in something. And so it's masked by that. But the fear is like a reservoir. Peace is a reservoir. Fear is not the reservoir. Fear is the thing that stops us from recognizing the reservoirs of the things that God has given us. So peace, joy, hope, these are all things that are within us because of who we are in Christ, because of what he's done for us. So if you can picture a reservoir of peace inside of you, and you just have to learn how to access that. We have to learn how to access that. In those times when we're really stuck in anxiety or anxiousness or worry or something. Okay, so the opposite of peace is chaos and turmoil. And some of us, I mean, in this room is full of, some of you are going through really bad things and some of you are going through life is sweet. But peace is the opposite of chaos and turmoil. And so there are so many things that can cause this for us, and some of them are external factors, and some of them are actually in here. And today I would love to focus on just the one thing, the ones in here. Because, I mean, peace is a huge subject, and I don't know all the answers. I've actually sent my message out to some good friends to say, can you tell me what you think of this? And I've had some fantastic feedback. So this is, I've had like, and Wayne as well, so I've had a triplicate of people helping me with this message. So it's not all just me, okay? And I think in doing that, one of the things that has come up is there's just such a huge subject, this peace thing. So we're focusing on the inner peace, like the what's going on in here. And I want us to picture our inside world a bit like the ground, okay? So the earth. So sometimes you look at a paddock, for example, and it's dry soil. In the middle of summer, it's cracked, it's hard, it's absolutely, you could not plant anything in a hard soil. Those of you who are gardeners know how much you have to break up soil and feed the soil and put nutrients on to actually make it a good receiver for a seed bed, to make it a seed bed. And so some of us have really hard ground inside of us, and that hard ground can be caused by hurts and unforgiveness and bitterness and offense and things like that. And so the hard ground is inside of us. And some of us have really soft ground inside of us, but I actually would suggest that each of us have a combo of different things, you know, different types of ground. Parts of our life are actually soft and malleable and really going well, and other parts are kind of just hidden away under this hard ground. So what I would like to suggest to you today is that God wants to start to lift and start to turn over that hard ground. I was talking to my mum who was a farmer years ago, and she was reminding me. So when you're working the land, the ground that has had no rain is really hard, as we've said, and it's really difficult to break it up without water coming to that ground. And so the farmer has to, when the rains come and the earth soaks in the water, it becomes softer and easier to turn. And so the farmer goes out and he starts turning the soil. And it's not like the first turn is the thing that's going to make it easy to sow the seed. It's a process. He has to do it so the big chunks get broken up, the medium-sized chunks get broken up. He repeats the process. It is a process, and it takes time until the soil is fine enough to receive a seed and for a seed to grow and take root. Okay, so I'd like to suggest that in here, inside of us, is that same kind of thing happening. And so the analogy is that the Lord wants to work the ground in our hearts. And it's a partnership. So it's not just him doing it in us. It's also us being responsible to do what we need to help break up that ground. And so Jeremiah 4 and Hosea 10 talk about breaking up our fallow ground. That's ground that's lain dormant, like in an off season. To break it up is to ready ourselves to receive from the Lord. And so the Lord breaks it up, but also we are responsible to make sure that we can help it to break up too. And that is actually like a willingness for God to actually start digging in those hard places. And the Holy Spirit is like the rain that can start to soften our hard hearts. And the worship and the thanksgiving and the praise and the God moments we experience all start to turn over that dirt, that all earth. The Holy Spirit rain falls, the truths turn over the soil until God can plant a seed in that part of our life. And we start to grow and we start to flourish, and that thing no longer has a hold over our life, okay? And you know, the wonderful thing about the way God works, I've discovered, is that he takes the very thing that was the epitome of hardness in our life, and he can turn it into something that he uses so much for his glory. People that have been seriously wounded in abuse or in something like that, they turn around and they help others who have gone through that. So, you know, there's a real beauty in God working through that hard soil to get below, to get the seeds to grow so that we can actually come out of it and be so effective, far more effective than we realize in working through the things God wants to work through. And like, it does take time and it can't be rushed. And so we sort of think, oh, I've tried things. I've tried so many things and they haven't worked. I would suggest to you that we just got to let God take time. The process takes time. God is not in a hurry sometimes. God is not in a hurry. He just wants us to get fully well and fully working in an area and functional. Okay, so this morning it was really quite interesting. Wayne called me down the hallway and he said, I've got this thing that could be you could use today. And it really is a very good analogy of this. Is that he was going to iron his shirt. He does do his ironing, okay? So he was going to iron his shirt, and he pulled the iron out of the cupboard, and the cord, the plug, dragged along the ground, and he didn't realize, but it caught behind a door as he was moving from one room to another. And so he was going like this, and he was going, and he was sort of, I couldn't go any further. And he's looking back, and he thought, oh, okay. So he couldn't pull that iron any further until he'd gone back and removed the plug from under the door. Do you guys get the story here? And so so the analogy with that is that sometimes we can't move forward until we look back. Okay, so some things in our life, you know, God wants us to move forward. He really wants us to move forward, but we can't move forward until we've gone back and seen, okay, that's the problem. I actually have to go back there, and I have to do something about that before I can move forward. Okay? So whatever that looks like for you, okay? So Psalm 65, 9 to 11, this is about the land. You care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. This, and I'm talking about our inner stuff here, okay? The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench its furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless its crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. This is the generosity and the extravagance of God. He does such amazing things within us, you know, and as we allow him, as I said, it's a partnership. If we're not agreeable, he can't do it. It has to be, we have to be willing, yeah. Okay? So, Jesus said, I am peace. Okay, I've done some of this, so I'm just moving along. Okay, you know what, when Jesus spoke these words, from verse 25, let's look at verse 25 of John 14. It says, all this I have spoken while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. So let's just think about that for a moment. The Holy Spirit is actually, we've heard messages that he's our counselor, he's our advocate, he's our guide, he helps us. He whispers to us the things that we need to know. And so he reminds us of the things that Jesus has said to him. And so he says again, peace I leave with you, verse 27, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So it's almost like, relax guys, it's almost like a command. Be at peace, don't let it worry you, okay? And I know that's like, I mean, I've had an experience in experiences where I've been so anxious about things. I'm not going to go into a story, but I just know one point in my life, for 10 days, I thought I was going to die. I was so anxious about a situation. And then at the 10th day, it was evident that I didn't need to be worried. And I was like, why did I live so horribly for the last 10 days? But it was, you know, for me, at the point, my problem was bigger in that moment, in that situation, than my trust in God. I should have known the faithfulness of God. I should have known he's not going to shame me, you know, and we should know God is so trustworthy. God is so kind. And I think we forget that God is kind. He's kinder than the kindest of us, you know. He really is. He is kind. Okay. So the peace that, the words that are spoken here, the meaning behind them is that peace is the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so, fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. I'm just going to read that again. The tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so, fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot, whatsoever sort that is. That's a really quite a challenging thing. How content are we with the things that we have in our life, with what God has given us? Now, Jesus spoke these words of comfort to his disciples on what would be the eve of the most excruciating day of his life. He knew what was ahead of him, but he's still comforting his disciples and not telling them exactly what he would be suffering. He just said, I will suffer. But he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. You know, the world might give us momentary peace, joy, happiness, hope. But we have a reservoir inside of us of peace and joy and hope. We just need to access it for those moments when we don't see it. Okay? Okay. I actually wonder if Jesus was also declaring this to himself. Peace, you know, the peace, do not be troubled, do not be afraid. I wonder if he was kind of, in a way, declaring that to himself. That's just my little aside kind of wondering. Okay. So twice in this chapter, at the beginning and at this point, he says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He never promises us a life without trouble, but he promised us that we would have an untroubled heart even in the midst of a troubled life. An untroubled heart despite the trouble that's around us. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. It's a given. We will have trouble. We know this. We've lived long enough to know this. But take heart. I have overcome the world. So like in this world, we will have trouble. But he is like overcome the world. You know, he's like so hugely overcome the world. We are on the winning team. We have a God who has overcome, and that overcomingness is ours as well. We don't have to walk in abject misery. We don't have to walk in all the things that the enemy sends us, because we have a God who has overcome. We have a God who has overcome. Jesus, I think, repeats himself here because he knows we have a propensity to being troubled and anxious. Okay? He knows we're worry warts. I mean, he just knows this. And some of us are short-term worry warts, and some of us are long-term worry warts. And it's just how we're wired. But what I want to share with you today is some things, some insights that I think I got this week from him. Well, no, I'd like to think, yes, I did get them from him. And because things that will help us to overcome, to actually walk out of here with tools that actually, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try this. I'm going to do this. And these are not, the things I'm going to share with you are not kind of formulas, okay? Because everything that we do is in relationship with God. And you can't use formulas in a relationship. I mean, let's be real. You know, I mean, I could give little examples. I'm not going to waste my time doing that. But, you know, you just can't use formulas in a relationship. Okay. Psalm 94:18-19. When I said my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. When anxiety was, so David, King David, I'm not sure at what point he said this, but he went through many times when he was like stuck with an enemy just right there in front of him. And he's saying, when my anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought me joy. So joy won over anxiety, and for his anxiety. And you know, I thought of that scripture, perfect love drives out fear. And you know what? Again, we've got this reservoir. In fact, not just a reservoir, but like this whole availability of the love of God. His love is immense and his love is enormous. And when we, you know, if you're in a situation today and you're thinking, I have no idea how I'm going to face this week. I just don't know what is ahead of me. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And you're fearful of something. You're afraid of something. When his word says perfect love drives out fear, maybe we could pray, God, I just give you this situation and I pray you would drench it in your perfect love, and that I would be drenched in your perfect love, so that fear does no longer reign in my life, okay? So I just invite you to try doing that if you're going through something like that. And a lot of it hinges on our trust in God. You know, I guess I've been a Christian 30 plus years, and I've come a ways from the very beginning to now, and I've still got a ways to go until heaven, you know, in trust. But I have learnt to hear his voice, and I have learnt to listen to him. And one of the ways I do that is I journal, and I've done this for around about 7 years, and I write in a book. And I write a prayer out, or I just write my thoughts out, and then I invite God to speak. And I write down what I feel he says to me. And I'm sure I've shared this before, but most very often, it's wonderful affirming words. Occasionally, it's a, what do you think you're doing? You know, do you think this is a good idea? Is it, you know, I think maybe we need to correct this thing in what's going on. And so occasionally, it's an admonition. But this is a relationship with God that I've learned to develop. And I really encourage you, if you don't do that sort of thing, to actually invite God to speak to you, because you are in a relationship. And it is about to and fro-ing, you know? So, now he's made us body, soul, and spirit. And we know that we can trust him. We know that his word says that we can trust him. But our mind might know we can trust him, but our body might be screaming out the opposite. And what I mean by that is, an example is many years ago, my Wayne, who everyone knows is quite loud, my Wayne was going through a situation that was so concerning him that he would wake up in the morning dry retching loudly. And he would wake up in the morning and his body was reacting to the worry, the fear, the whatever was going on. His body was reacting. And he, in that moment, he didn't know a theory behind this, but he just thought, he prayed, he said, God, I want you to know that even though my body is saying, I don't trust you, I do trust you. You know, even though my body is reacting in a way that says, I don't trust you, I do trust you. And I think that the words of our mouth are so powerful. And that prayer, after that prayer, we had quieter mornings. It was really good. And so, you know, it's like we can actually overcome the stuff our body is going. Our body is not the dictator of our life. Our emotions, our mind, our spirit, they're not the dictators of our life. We actually can have a way to work through with them, not be commanded by them. And I'm going to go through that now. Okay. So our emotions are also God-given to us to help us express the state within us. And we need our emotions. We need our emotions. But we can't rely on them to be truthful, because while they might be expressing our personal truth, it may not be real truth. And personal truth is my perception of a situation that I think maybe someone didn't talk to me and therefore they don't like me, and therefore, okay, you know, I feel bad that they might not like me. But in actual fact, they might be just thinking, shoot, I've got to get to the doctor, I've got to hurry off, you know? But my perception was absolutely wrong, but it was my truth. And so the real truth is, they were in a hurry. My perception was my truth, false truth in a sense. And so our false truths, our emotions are often based around what is not necessarily truth. And so we can't rely on them. And they're like horses that need to be contained in the paddock, our emotions. And if they jump the fence, they can actually cause damage to themselves or damage to another person if we let them run wild. And so we actually have to learn to contain our emotions in that paddock inside, probably next to the ground that we've got inside. But anyway, and a healthy control over our emotions looks like this, that we express pain or anger or frustration in a way that does not damage another. Okay? So we just have to be careful. Emotions are God-given. Anger is God-given, but we need to make sure that we don't let it rule our life. We don't let it run away, because it is our responsibility to control our emotions. Okay? And every one of us has been given the capacity to do that. Okay. So one thing I've learned since starting to prepare this message is the power of our words. And I was given a great little book called The Awesome Power of Blessing by a man called Richard Brunton. It's only about like this big, and you can read it in, you know, half an hour or so. But it's he does come across with some incredible truths about blessing. So out of our words, out of our mouths, we know this, can come words that are incredibly uplifting and encouraging and blessing, and words that are destructive. We all can do this. And so the evidence of it's everywhere. Our history is for every one of us. We've littered with hurtful words that have been spoken in our past that have sometimes affected us to this point today. You know, things that someone said about us, like someone told my mum she shouldn't be singing or something when she was a small kid. And so she has never sung all her life. And I think, how tragic is that? You know? And just someone's opinion. So someone's opinion might have really shaped your life and sort of put you in a furrow that in a kind of a furrow thing that you can't get out of without the help of God to get you out of it. Maybe it's a hard ground thing that you need to work with him. Okay. We have the absolute power to change atmospheres, situations, health and mindsets simply by the words we speak. That is actually incredibly significant. We can walk into a room and change the atmosphere by the words that we say. So a few keys to speaking the right words is like this. So to speak a blessing, which is also called a benediction, and some of you will be familiar with that word. And benediction is French for good speaking, essentially. And it's an act of faith declaring God's intention for the person or situation. So as we declare God's intention, we actually release his ability to change things from where they are to where they should be. So we release God's intention when we speak a benediction. And a malediction is the opposite. It means bad speaking. And we are speaking negative words when we say things like, I'm never going to change, or I always stuff up. It's not true. It's just not true. We need to watch what comes out of our mouth. We need to pray for the Holy Spirit to show us when we overstep the mark. However that looks, it could be complaining, it could be crassness, swearing, it could be gossiping. There's a really good verse in Psalm 141, 3 that says, post a guard at my mouth, God, set a watch at the door of my lips. I use it a lot. I just think I don't want to say things that are going to be really unhelpful. You know, God is a kind God, and we are his representatives. And if you know him today, you are a representative of God, and we need to make sure we are sharing the kindness of God, okay? We need to ask the Holy Spirit what to say. Sometimes what we think is most important actually isn't. Okay. Our Heavenly Father wants us to co-labor with him in his redemptive work, both in our own lives, but also in the lives of others. We have been given the spiritual authority to do this. We can counteract negative words that have been spoken over us with words like, say you've been told that you're never going to amount to much because your mind doesn't think right. Or you just say, mind, I bless you with the peace and clarity of thoughts that come from God. I bless you with the mind of Christ. You speak to your own body. Body, I bless you with order and health in every cell. Speak to those areas of your physical self that are suffering. Back, I bless you with wholeness and freedom from pain. Discs, come into alignment with God's original plan for me. David the psalmist spoke to his soul. So this is we're in good company. He said in Psalm 42:5, he says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And then Psalm 62:5, yes, my soul, find rest in God. God wants our souls to find rest. You know, when you have a troubled soul, it's like you just can't settle to anything. But when God wants, so you speak it, God, my soul, find your rest in God, you know. My hope comes from him. We can bless our home, our workplace, our spouse, our children, the people we meet. Blessings were powerful in the Old Testament. Isaac's blessing of his second son could not be retracted and given to the eldest. Back then, this is how it ran. We must not judge, and we mustn't judge the worthiness of the recipient. You can bless someone who's given you a hard time at work. Do you know what that could do? Maybe that could totally change the way things are for you both at work. Just a thought. Okay. Some of you might think it's just positive talking. I've tried that. It hasn't worked in the past. And I would just say simply, try again. Let's put a good habit in place to speak words of blessing regardless. Let's not try and ever manipulate God. He will not be manipulated by any kind of formula type things that we think we've got going. That whatever words we use, they must align with the word of God. And they must bring glory to him. We've got to remember that. There are certain conditions around this kind of thing. Okay. So when I said the Lord wants to break up the ground within us so the truths can sink in. Like today, I know he totally wants it to not be like a blanket, He doesn't, you know, the peace of God is not like a soft blanket that just covers us. He actually, the truth of God, the peace of God, is like something that really gets into that absolute wound and can bring restoration and redemption and wholeness into those wounds, into those places. And so today, so I would encourage you to think about what is in your life that might be a dry ground area and start to think about how God might want to break up that ground for you. Okay, how can we get that ground ready? There is nothing that any of us face that Jesus himself doesn't understand. We are not beyond his power to change our life. And nothing we have done disqualifies us today from receiving the life that he promises. Do not disqualify yourself. Do not say, I'm in the too hard basket. No one is. No one is in the too hard basket. I'm sorry, you are not a member of that club. It isn't there. Okay? God, in God, everything is possible. Everything is possible. And we qualify whether we know him or not, and he gives us the opportunity to choose to ask for his help, to get to work in that partnership with him, to help us in these areas of our life. So here are some ways that might help us co-labor with the Holy Spirit to restore our peace. Excuse me, I just have to see what time is. Cool. Okay. Make God bigger in our lives. Give him more room in your life. So this looks like trust that he has our back. Trust that he's not going to shame you. Trust that he's going to be kind. He is kind. Trust him. Talk with him more. Involve him in our days more. Do you know that he knows more about your work, no matter how much of an expert you are, than you do? And he'd be happy to help you in it. Okay? Don't compare ourselves with others. Guys and women both struggle with this. This is a way to make your life less anxious. All of these, okay? This is ways to find the peace of God more in your life. These are practical ways, part of what the partnership that we can do to help us find this, okay? So don't compare ourselves with others. Just because someone has a better car or a better job or a better image, don't want to be like them. Don't try and even emulate them because that's who they are. It's not who you are. Be the best you that you can be. I know that's a little bit of a catchphrase, but it's actually very true. No one else, don't try and take on someone else's persona and preach like them or talk like them or do things that they do simply because you want to be like them, even though you don't actually like doing those things. Let's not try and be anybody but who we are meant to be. Because that's where God has given us the uniqueness about who we are, the essence of who we are. Because that's what he wants us to do and be. So let's just be ourselves. Now, if we have any insecurities, let's say we all have insecurities. Let's be honest. There are some insecurities we can do something about and others that we can't. For the ones that we can't do anything about, okay, I can't make my eyes brown when my eyes aren't brown. You know, and if it makes me insecure that I've got not brown eyes, then it's an issue to me. But I can't do anything about that. My eyes are not brown. And so I have to accept the fact that this is how I am. I can't change my height. I can't change anything else about me. It's an unchangeable. So we need to ask God to help us accept those things about us if we find it really hard. Accept the things we can't change. There's a cool prayer when I was a kid, I saw it. Accept the things, what is it? God give me the strength to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, that kind of sums it up. Okay. Okay, and also, if we have got an insecurity that we can change and do something about, we have to be prepared to put the work in that the change will need. So if we're not prepared to put the work in to change that insecurity, then like it might need a workout at the gym, it might mean taking a course, and we don't want to put the work in, then the decision not to put the work in should actually reduce the insecurity, because you can say, you can come to peace with yourself, okay, I'm not actually prepared to do that, so I'm not going to stop, I'm going to stop worrying about that insecurity. Do you get what I mean by that? It's kind of like, just let's try and work with what we've got. So the wisdom to know the difference is a really good thing to pray for. We need to leave room for God. We need to not put a full stop in a chapter of our lives that isn't yet finished being written. So when we have, you know, whatever chapter of our life that we're at, If God hasn't finished writing it yet, let's not try and put a full stop before it's done. So maybe if that could be a relationship, it could be a job, it could be something. Has God finished with this part of your life yet? And that's probably quite a good way to pray. Even if everything in you is screaming out, I am ready for change. I remember working in a hotel as a receptionist for 5 years, and I thought by 3 years I'd had enough. But it was another 2 years before I actually got out of there, not because I didn't have the impetus to go, but it's just because it was like, no, not yet. And I'm thinking, oh, shift work forever, you know, but no. And so, you know, sometimes we need to let God put the full stop where he wants to put it. We need to simplify our life. Are we striving so hard in some area of our life that it has now become a burden? Are we striving to achieve something that it's actually become a burden and a weight? Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And if you're feeling really weighed down by what you feel like is happening in your life, re-evaluate. Is it actually meant to be there? Okay? Be careful who and what we pay attention to. Social media. Conforming to a standard that isn't our own. Who do we listen to the most, and are they good for us actually? Something to think about. And lastly, with this one, physical care. Eat properly. Sleep enough. Exercise enough. Rest. Have fun. At times, we've been so busy with work and church and other things that it's kind of like, hang on, we're missing something. We need some fun, you know, so we need to just put some fun time in there. So maybe you have to plan fun, you know, if your life is really busy. Put some fun in, though. Life is not meant to be all drudge and hardness and hard work. Put some fun in. Have some fun. Okay. And go to the doctor when you need to, especially you guys who will put it off for as long as you possibly can. Sometimes there's a physical reason for the way that our minds are working, okay? So go to the doctor if you need to. Somebody needs to hear that. I fully and absolutely believe that the Lord wants to liberate us today from the things that hold us back. You know, those things that have been hard ground in your life for so long. He wants to liberate you, or start to, okay? From the things that stifle us and prevent us from fulfilling the reason we are here. And every single one of us have a reason, an overarching main reason why we're here, what God has for us to do in our world. Some of it might involve something in ministry. Some of it might involve something, discovering some cures. It might involve developing some amazing engineering thing that will change the world. There's so much within each of us that God has got for us to do. And it's up to us to work in partnership with him to find out what that is. Because it's really exciting when you are moving in what God wants you to do. You will be fulfilled. It will be life to the full. See, the enemy comes to rob, to steal, and to destroy us as much as possible. But Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. Like, we're not just talking breathing, existing. We're talking abundant, extravagant life. Okay? So, life to the full includes a life that has peace despite troubles, as Jesus promises. But what he also promises, let's work us out together. Let's work it out together. It's a partnership. It's us working with him. It's not about him putting things in our lives and us having absolutely no control. We are in relationship. We can have chats, have a talk with God. God, what's happening right here, you know? Please tell me what I need to do here. Because sometimes we just get stuck. God wants to unstuck us today. He really does. Okay. Relationship. Again, I'll just pull it back to that. That relationship with God is key. It is just so key. He wants us to be in absolute relationship with him. And sometimes, you know, in our lives, we've got our life and we have our God life, our Sunday life, and they're like this, and they don't actually cross over and marry up. But God wants us to be like this, so that our everyday life and our Sunday life looks like this with him. That he is so entwined in our lives that everything we do is, we just know where we're at with God. We're not trying to separate this part of our life, our Christianity, out from the other parts of our life. We're just living who we are. And some of us, it took me a long time to get to this point. I was probably 18 when I became a Christian, but I wasn't keen to sort of talk about it much. I was just too shy or whatever. But it's a process, and God understands the process, and he understands exactly where each of us are at with that. But he wants us always to be moving forward, though, not stuck. Okay. So if you're here today and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, but something has been said that's resonated with you, and you want to know more about this relationship with Christ, you want to know more about relationship with God or the peace of God, it's your life is in turmoil and you want to know what the peace of God is, please come and see us afterwards up the front here. We'll help you out with explaining what that looks like. You can find out more about that. We'd love to help you. But I'm going to ask you guys now, how is your ground within actually? I want you to do some self-reflection. The Holy Spirit is right here to rain on our hard places and begin to soften them. His presence is here today. It really is. His presence is here. He's here to start breaking up that ground within us. The worship team's going to play, wherever they are. Too busy listening, I think. But the worship team, and after I finish speaking, I really encourage you to have a moment with God. You can come up the front if you want to. You can sit in your seat if you want to. Whatever you want to do. But invite Jesus to start working on your hard places. This is not about me saying you need to do it. If you don't need to do it, wonderful. But if you do, just ask God, is there any hard places in my life that you want me to work through? So if you need prayer, as always, the team will be up the front to pray with you afterwards. But I'm going to encourage you greatly. If you want to experience God again today in an awesome way, come to the encounter night. Come and give him this part of your day just to worship him, to honor him, to give thanks and praise. It's called an encounter night. It's not just about a one-way thing. You will encounter God. You will. So I'm going to finish with the words of Jesus, and I'm going to finish with a benediction. Okay? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. I bless you with the peace of God that surpasses understanding. I bless you with the mindset of Christ that helps to bring peace and to put your thoughts in alignment with his. I bless you with a prayer life that is filled with more faith than you have ever known before. I bless you with hearts that are at peace and that without fear. And I bless you with life to the full.